Fasting and prayer, it's kind of an odd little topic, especially the fasting part of it. I think we understand what prayer is, and I think we get what fasting is. In essence, it's to do without a particular thing. Many of us think it's doing without food, and a lot of times it is. Most of the time that it is, but it's not just that. And every year we set aside the first full week of the year, and we take a time to fast and pray. And I encouraged you last week, sent out an email, in fact, this week about preparing our hearts for that. I'm not sure the church quite gets it. In fact, there's this funny ad that I came across, and this is serious. It's actually a real promotion. I put it up on the screen there. It says, prayer and fasting conference fee is $95, and it includes meals. I kid you not. It actually took place. And so I'm not sure they quite get it. But all right, we're going to look at what fasting and prayer is this week. And the Lord has given me a word for this year. The word is focus, F-O-C-U-S. Now, I'm going to break that down in just a little bit today in the message about what that looks like. But I think that too often we can, you can take that down if you like. we can get our focus off of what God has for us to do and our lives and how we need to live. And I just want us to, in the beginning here of 2018, to get ourselves either focused or refocused, get our focus again back on the things that are important. Now, this is going to be a very practical message. We're going to go a little bit past noon today because of the testimony time, the worship time. But you know what? It's cold outside. It's warm in here. And the food will still be warm when you get to it. So if you guys can hang in there with me on this, I'd appreciate it. But how many is ready to receive a word this morning? Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to go to verse 29. Very familiar passage. And it says this. He gives more power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want us to look this morning at four different areas of life that all of us are part of. No matter how old or young, no matter what gender, no matter what station you are in life, all of us deal with these four things. And I think it's prudent at the beginning of the year for us to look at these things and maybe refocus, reevaluate, and where we are with these things in our life. And I've titled this message this morning, Renewal as a Way of Life. Now, the beginning of the new year always brings about what we know as New Year's resolutions. Maybe you've made some, maybe you haven't. We see areas in which we need to improve and make a determination to eat better, maybe exercise more or exercise at all, be kinder, maybe be more giving, maybe be more helpful, work harder, whatever the case may be. Unfortunately, many of these resolutions fall by the wayside when temptations arise, busyness creeps in, and then those old habits that are hard to break resurface and reclaim our lives somewhere, maybe by the middle of January, middle of February, some of us stick in there till March. But instead of making resolutions this year, I want to encourage you with something. I want to challenge you with this. How about looking at renewal in a different way? In fact, let's look at renewal as a way of life. In other words, how about approaching life not one year at a time? 2018 is upon us, so it's going to be a great year. Instead, let's look at it as one day at a time. What if we were to incorporate little by little, precept upon precept, line upon line, daily disciplines that will help us to restore over a period of time, our spiritual, our mental, our physical, and our relational health? You know, many of us look at issues in our lives as too big to overcome, but as the old saying goes, you never eat an elephant all in one sitting. You eat it little by little, one bite at a time. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning to begin our time together, and that is this. Where do you feel depleted in your life? Where do you feel burned out in your life? Where can you use renewal? What are those areas that you need the Holy Spirit to grip you that has a grip on you? This week of fasting and prayer isn't necessarily a week of transformation. It's necessarily not going to take place this week. We too often as Pentecostals look for that event, that thing to go to that's going to revolutionize our lives. And while God does use at times singular events and circumstances to bring renewal to us, He's really looking for us to develop a lifestyle that is continually in the process of transformation into the image of Christ. We focus too often, I believe, as Christians on the destination, while Christ is more concerned and more focused on the journey. The characteristics of a renewed life are found in our text as we wait upon Him. And there's three things very quickly. First off, we see that He's renewing our strength. And by the way, that's a daily thing. It's not just a one shot and you're out of here and you're good to go. It needs to be daily. That daily strength that's renewing in our lives to help us weather storms, to help us to rise above difficulties, to help us to overcome our day-to-day struggles with God's divine energy and strength. It's an increased resilience. We see that based on our text in Isaiah. It's helping us to be an overcomer in those areas in which we've struggled. How many needs to be an overcomer in areas in which you're struggling this morning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's a fresh vision of our future based on our text, building in us a hope and a peace and a joy that can only be found in an ongoing and ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. As long as you have the breath of life in you, you can't separate the spirit from the mind and the body. Each part is interconnected and affects the other in our life's journey, but you still must purposefully and intentionally care for each of those areas in a way that cultivates renewal and brings life. It's called a holistic approach to living. And I'd like for us to look this morning at some of these big boulders, these four areas in our lives, and how we can match each challenge with action steps and make renewal as a way of life for us all. And the first area that I'd like for us to look at this morning, if you're taking notes, is spiritual. It's the foundation of everything. The latest spiritual thing, by the way, isn't always the greatest. And newer doesn't necessarily mean deeper. Too often, I think we run to the things that are the shiny, flashy things in the Christian world, that next conference, that next book that's out, that next thing that's going on. But newer isn't always greater, and it's not necessarily always deeper. Fundamentals, folks, are important in every area of life. And the fundamentals of our faith are the big boulder importance to us this morning. And there's three main areas that I'd like for us to look at in our spiritual renewal, our refocusing on, and that is the first one, prayer. Prayer is vital. It's the key. As I said at the beginning, even at the announcements, it's the foundation of everything that we do as a church. It should be everything that you do in your individual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be prayer. Prayer, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:18, the first part of it, says pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. All and every. That's not just Sunday mornings from 10:30 to 12. That's not just coming here Monday through Friday of this week from 6:30 to 7:30 and having a time of prayer as we meet together. But it's at all times. How do you pray all the time while you're driving, while you're working, while you're doing all these things that you have to do? Well, the Spirit of the Lord prays and has those groanings and those things that are going on inside of your spirit that you don't necessarily have to verbalize. It's just a constant communication with the Lord. I think too often we have a hard time even just praying at all, let alone praying at all times. But in 2018, one day at a time, let me encourage you, little by little, to take some time, any time, 30 seconds, 10 seconds, start somewhere and communicate in the Spirit a time of prayer and communication. It is your vehicle to get you into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence, just like the vehicle that you got into this morning brought you here. Prayer is the same vehicle that'll take you into the very presence of the Most High God. It's a form of communication that you can have like no other. You can't have it with anybody else here on this earth. Prayer is a hotline directly to the throne of God. And I encourage you this morning to take prayer and let it be something that you begin to cultivate in your life. And by the way, I've said this before, but for those who have not heard this before, all of us, God has given us two ears and one mouth. The reason is because he wants us to listen twice as much as we speak. Because there's not a thing that you can tell him that he doesn't already know, but there's certainly so much that he can speak to us that we need to know, that will encourage our hearts and speak to our spirits and edify us. Prayer is the foundation. It's the beginning of everything that God wants to do in your life in 2018 and beyond. Let it begin today by taking time and spending in prayer with him. And you can do it in church. You can do it in your car. You can do it in the bathroom, in the kitchen, at your school place, at your workplace. You can do it anywhere that you are alert and awake and are able. And it doesn't have to be in a particular bodily position. It's the position of the heart that God's looking for. So bow before him 24/7 and develop and cultivate an atmosphere of prayer. The second thing that I want us to look at this morning very quickly is this. I want us to look at how we can renew and refocus our attention on our margins, our quiet times, our quiet times with God, our Sabbath, in other words. I don't know what 2017 looked like for you, but I got a feeling that many of us were more busy than we needed to be. We were, as they say, burning the candle at both ends. We were overcommitting ourselves. We had more month than, had more commitment than we had month to do it in. And God is calling us to guard our margins, because if we don't, we're going to miss out on our quiet times with God. We won't have that time to pray. We won't have that time to study his word. We won't have that time to cultivate a relationship with him that we must have. Luke 5:16 says this, Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness and he prayed. There's an awful lot of noise and an awful lot of chatter in our lives. There's constant demand of our time and talent and energies. And we need to learn how to say no to the things that are not important and yes to the things that are. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you'll listen to me, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. The most important thing for you to say yes to is your quiet time with the Lord, and to guard your margins and to guard your Sabbath. Listen, God rested on the seventh day, and if he had to rest, then certainly we should. And by the way, God doesn't have to rest, because the Bible says he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never gets weary. But he modeled that for us. And if Jesus had to get away, it says that he often withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. And if Jesus had to do it, certainly we need to do it. He again modeled that for us, but he not only modeled it for us, but Jesus needed to do it, because he was fully man and fully God. And he needed to get alone with his Father and spend time with him. We all have a Sabbath that we must guard. We all have margins that we must be careful to not let get crowded in with a lot of stuff. Those quiet times with God are vital. The third thing in this spiritual reevaluation renewal is this, Bible engagement. Bible engagement. Romans 10:17 says this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. We like that. We like faith. We're all about faith. Especially, you know, us walking, we like to walk in faith. Oh man, I just believe God's going to do this for me. I just believe in faith that he's going to heal me. I believe in faith that he's going to do this. I believe in faith, 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 faith. Faith comes from hearing. The message comes from hearing the word of God. It comes from getting in close proximity to it and letting it get into your heart. It's not just this on a Sunday morning. This message should not do you for the rest of the week. Regular, daily engagement in God's word is what will help to renew your strength. If you're burned out today, if you need renewal, get into God's word and let him renew your strength. Faith is the key ingredient to our spiritual health. Faith refocuses our hearts back to God. And there's no better way to replenish your depleted heart than regular engagement in God's word. At the end of the service today, you're going to be offered one of these. In fact, the ushers are going to have these ready for us. Kathy Baxter has made, and every year she does this, journals for us. And this is just an opportunity for us to take the journal on one hand and the Bible on the other, and open both of them up and say, Lord, what is it that you want to show me today as you shine that light on me in those dark areas of my life that I need to give over to you? What is it that you want to reveal about who you are more fully in my life? Oh, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write it down today. I don't want to forget it. This revelation, this new thing, this new facet, this thing that God's working on in my life, I'm going to date it. I'm going to write it down. And I'm going to look back on this a month from now, 6 months from now, and say, God has done some awesome things in my life as a result of me engaging. And I'm going to be reminded of it because I journaled it right here in this book. Free of charge today, one per person. If you have a friend or loved one that you want to get it for as well, we have plenty to give out. But at the end of the service today, we're going to hand one of those out to you. And Kathy, thank you for all the work that you did in putting that together. So our spiritual life, it's a foundational area of our life, and we must be renewed in that every day. Our times of prayer, our times of margins, that quiet time, that Sabbath with Him, our times in His Word are vital. It's our spiritual food. Just as we eat and drink to keep us alive, we must eat and drink of God's Word and His Spirit and times with Him in order for our spirits to be nourished and to grow in Him. Would you agree with me? The second thing that I want us to look at this morning is our mental beings. All of us have a mind to think, and our minds, our mental moves into our emotional, because as we realize this morning that our minds are a battlefield. The Bible talks very clearly about the seeds that are being planted in our minds. And if we're not careful to guard what's going on there and to be intentional in our thought processes, it's going to come out in emotional ways that are not healthy for us. Let's talk about that. You see, what happens is we entertain a seed of a thought. It could be good or bad. And then we nurture that thought. We pet it. We grow it. We feed it, good or bad. And then ultimately, that thought births an action. And our future health, mental health and emotional health, hinges in large part on our emotional strength. There's negative thoughts that we have that rush in all the time. There's unforgiveness that we harbor in our lives. There's anxiety that we carry around all the time. And it creates this dark cloud of heaviness over our lives. And this chronic weariness that comes upon us as a result, that if we're not careful, will deplete our strength and impact our future. But we don't have to live that way. Folks, it's our choice that we make every day. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind again? Through His Word, through prayer, through times with Him. You get into His Word and it challenges the things that you're feeling and thinking. And we hold those things up to the light of the foundation of the never-changing truth in His Word, and it helps us to refocus. It helps us to get renewed back to Him. Because it says that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, as you're not conformed to the things of this world. Unforgiveness, anxiety, worry, fear, doubt. Those are the things of this world. Those are the things that our flesh wants us to live out and function in. But if we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, we're going to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect as far as God's will for our lives. And this transformation is not a one-time thing. Again, it's a daily decision to trust Christ and to follow His example. Now, all of us have established thinking patterns in our lives. Some of us look at the glasses half full, and others look at the glasses half empty. Stop elbowing people right now. Just, all right? All of us are different ways. Some of us are more pessimistic, and some of us are more optimistic, and some of us maybe are more critical, and some of us are maybe more encouraging. That's just the way that we're bent. And it's hard, I understand, for some of us who maybe are more in the pessimistic, negative sort of approach, pessimistic sort of way. It's hard to reprogram those critical ways of thinking. And it seems like maybe it's an insurmountable task for you, but nothing is impossible with God. Because I want to tell you what God's will is for your life this morning. God's will for your life is to live with less stress, less anxiety, less anger, less depression, and more hope, more energy, more joy, and more peace. That's God's will for your life. Now, if that sounds good to you, then let's continue on here. Because when we slow down and pay attention, the Holy Spirit can help us to identify those thoughts that bring about destructive conclusions in our lives. And He can help us to contrast those thoughts against God's Word to help us to bring true reality of the circumstances that we face day to day. 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about this. It says that we need to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What we do is this. We take these thoughts that are pessimistic, they're negative, they're critical, and we let God's word take them captive, bind them with chains and say, you're going no further. I cast them down. And I now replace those things with what God's word says about the situation. And I'm not going to walk out being negative, critical, or pessimistic. But from this moment on, based on what God's word says about my situation, I choose to stand on what his word says, because all his promises are true and his word is greater than every circumstance in my life. Easy to do? No. Impossible? Not impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's a day to day, little by little, bite by bite, eat the elephant of critical, pessimistic, negative ways of thinking. And you'll see slowly but surely that moving over into a more realistic outlook on things as you walk in faith and understand what God's word says about your situations. You know, I'm going to move on because I want to be honoring of your time today. But there's different things that we need to be careful of in this whole area of our mental state, and that is that we need to forgive immediately and just let it go. If you're walking in unforgiveness, let it go. The choice to forgive is yours. Let it go. But not only forgive others that hurt you, but I've got to say this morning: forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Folks, some of you are walking in unforgiveness towards yourself. You're condemning yourself. And by the way, Satan is also adding to that by condemning you as well. He's talking about your past. You're condemning yourself about your past, the choices that you've made, the awful things that you've done in your life. And Satan tries to condemn you. And you can't be delivered from this because you're walking in unforgiveness for yourself. Forgive yourself. Listen, the same sort of grace and compassion that you extend to others as you walk in love and forgiveness, extend that grace and compassion towards yourself. You can forgive yourself with that same grace and compassion. Oh, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done, because I can tell you what Christ has done, and it's greater. What Christ has done overcame what you did. Isn't that good to know? So it's just stop walking around saying that you're a failure, that nobody likes you, you should have done better, and all that pessimism and insecurity. And don't be your own worst enemy. Just renew your mind in God's word. Be spirit-filled, but don't walk out in emotional reactions to things. But walk in the Spirit that is He's very intentional. The Holy Spirit is very intentional. You realize this. The Holy Spirit, even though he manifests itself through us many times very emotionally, the Holy Spirit is very intentional. And he's not this fly off the seat of his pants sort of person. He's very intentional. He knows exactly what he's doing. We get excited. Oh, and we get filled with the Spirit, and it comes out in different ways. But the Holy Spirit is just not willy-nilly. He knows exactly what's going on. So he wants us to be rational. He wants us to be spirit-led and not be so emotionally reactive, but spirit-led in our lives. And just walk in. I'll just say one more thing. Philippians 4:8 says this: whatever, brothers, is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue and anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Man, I can't even... imagine a more fundamental, awesome list to build a positive foundation or outlook on life upon than that list. Philippians 4:8, write that down, study those words and say, am I being true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report? Am I thinking on those things, or am I thinking the opposite? I promise you, as you think on those things, you're going to find that it may not change your circumstances around you, but it'll sure change what's going on inside as you keep your eyes on him. Truly, as we change our minds, I believe that we're going to change our lives. There's a lot of whatsoevers that we can think upon and praise him for. The bottom line is this: we need to guard the gates of our minds. I want you to place the Holy Spirit at the entrances to the gates of your mind and say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission now from this moment on. Don't allow anything to come in that is not going to edify my spirit, that is not the truth. Don't let anything to come in that is going to deteriorate and corrupt me. Don't let anything to come in that's going to make me go in a way that's going to cause me to be unhealthy in the way that I think. But let me keep my mind on you. Guard the gates of my mind so that the only things that are allowed in are the things of you. That's not going to be 100% going to happen all the time perfect. There's going to be opportunities and times where you're going to sit there going, doubt, worry, anxious, fearful, unforgiving, angry. Those things are going to happen. But at least the Holy Spirit can be there saying, hey, that's not of me. Let me remind you right now that that's a slippery slope. You don't want to go that way. And the Holy Spirit, if you give him permission, can take it by the scruff of its neck and kick it out of your mind. And then say, Lord, replace that with what you would have for me to be. And one bite at a time, little by little, we begin to swing the pendulum over to something that's a little more spirit-led and not so flesh-led. And as long as we're moving in that direction, we're headed in the right direction. Amen? Here's the third thing that I want us to look at, and that's the area of our relationships. As I said just a moment ago, we took communion. We received communion. It's a perfect example of a healthy relational life. We have that vertical dependency upon Christ, who broke our whose broken body and shed blood has made us whole and forgiven. But at the same time, we have this beautiful body of Christ, this church, which, by the way, is not this building. This church is you and I. It's a people. And God has given us one another to encourage one another, this community and this communion, kind of the same, from the same root. Communion and community are from the same root. It's all about commonality. It's a group of people with the same interest and goals in mind. We are a community of faith, and our central focus and revolves around the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's our hub. He's our foundation. That's who we revolve around. And folks, sometimes as Jesus has bore our burdens and is bearing our burdens, sometimes we can manifest that in the body of Christ by being a tangible expression of it. Amen? Because sometimes we need to bear one another's burdens. God has designed for us to live out our faith in the presence of community. When we cry, and others cry. We laugh, they laugh. We mourn, they mourn. We rejoice, they rejoice. We take care of one another. The strong support the weak. The well-off support the needy. The capable support the incapable. We love unconditionally. We forgive wholeheartedly, and we guard the unity vigorously. You know, God never intended any one person to bear burdens alone. Yes, he's our burden bearer, and I thank God for that. But we also must not let that be a cop-out for us as the body of Christ to realize that sometimes we need to be his hands and feet extended and bear one another's burdens, to be that tangible expression of Christ to others. Circumstances arise and help mold us into the image of Christ, but sometimes those circumstances can be overwhelming, amen? And that's why the community of faith, this body of believers, steps alongside and walks the journey with us, helping carry some of the weight for a length of the journey together. No man is an island. There should be no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. No man is perfect. Think about it. Even Superman had his kryptonite. Good grief. We need one another. A healthy relational way of life invites people in and allows them to be shelter in the time of storm, to be an accountability partner for times of temptations and struggles, and to speak into our lives while holding sensitive things in utmost confidence. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says it best. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging, is another word for it, one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. You know what this is saying? It's saying, be part of a church, be part of a body of believers, so that when those times come, and they will come, that you're not standing there all by yourself saying, what do I do? You would not believe the amount of people that I get over the period of a year. And they come needing help with some sort of assistance to pay their power bill. They need food. They some way, somehow are in dire straits. And one of my first questions to them is, do you have a church that you go to? And most of the time they say no. And that speaks volumes to what's going on. Because you see, at our church, and I can say this about our church, is that if there's a need and we're aware of it, we're going to make sure that we can do what we can to make sure that we see that need through. If it's a financial need, through a rough spot, I know there's many people here that can testify to that fact, that we do everything that we can to make absolutely sure that no one is without in this church of their just food, shelter, and clothing, for crying out loud. But then we certainly also help one another out where there's struggles going on with family issues, prodigal sons and daughters, physical needs of healing, struggles of that nature. God has given us one another. Let's cherish one another. And let's, in 2018, little by little, bite by bite, open up our lives to others in relationship and say, you know what? I need other people. I need to connect here. And let's be the body of Christ with one another. And here's the fourth thing that I want us to look at this morning. And that's our physical bodies. I love how Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma has as their mission statement. They have three main focuses in this holistic approach of their education. From the very beginning, they focus on the body, the mind, and the spirit. What a great all-inclusive holistic approach to education that Oral Roberts does. You see, our body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. This physical body that you're seated in this morning, that you're resting in this morning, as much as we focus on our spiritual and emotional and relational health, which I would believe that we would all say is very important, we must also be good stewards of this body that God has prepared for us and our spirits to dwell in. Here's the thing. It makes sense that we should take care of our bodies in a way that glorifies God and positions us for personal growth and renewal. If all we're doing is focusing on our physical ailments and the different things because we haven't taken care of our body, then it's detracting, it's distracting away from the other things that God wants us to do. I mean, think about it. Jesus, he didn't have an SUV. He didn't have a chariot, for crying out loud. I don't even think he had a donkey. He walked everywhere that he went. And some scholars say that he walked, if he ever traveled from one place to the next, roughly about 20 to 25 miles a day. He walked a lot. He obviously took care of himself. And I'm sure that he didn't have a gym membership at Planet Fitness. And I didn't read anywhere in here that he had a Nordic track at the back of his dad's carpentry shop. He just stayed in shape. He took care of himself. You see, he had an assignment. And he wasn't about to shortchange it by eating poorly or not exercising. You know, God has an appointed time for all of us to be born, and that's all on our birth certificates right now. But for all of us, we're still in that dash of our lives, and there's still an appointed day of the appointed time of our death, our last day on this earth. And unless the Lord returns and catches us home, we're all going to have those numbers and those dates completed in our lives. Right now, we're living in that dash, and we have a responsibility in that dash to not reduce those days that God has appointed to us by our poor choices of how we eat and how we sleep and how we exercise or the lack thereof. I don't know about you, but I want to live all the days that is assigned for me for His glory. How about you? How about the rest of you? I want to be a good steward of my physical body so that I can be like Caleb in the Old Testament. He was 85 years old. And he was still ready to fight the battles and inherit his blessings from God. If you're around 85 years old, be encouraged. Listen to this. Joshua chapter 14 tells the story. Verse 10 is where we're going to start. It says, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. He's speaking to Moses, Caleb is. And he's saying to Moses, ever since the Lord spoke this word, actually he's speaking to Joshua. He says, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. And as yet, I'm as strong this day as on the day Moses sent me when he was 40 years old. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Now, he went up there with his walker. "You better get out of here." That dude was a stud. 85-year-old, like, stud, all right? And he was ready to get out there and fight for what the Lord had promised him. He was full of faith, but he was also full of strength. And those are both necessary ingredients to accomplish God's side tasks. So in 2018 terms, I'd say that He probably got his needed sleep, 7 to 8 hours a night. He probably ate healthily. I'm sorry, 7 to 8 hours a night. Is that not true for some of you? Really? 7 to 8 hours? Is that what it's supposed to be? Yeah. 7 to 8 hours is the normal required amount that you should be sleeping. He ate healthy, balanced meals, and he probably moderately exercised about 30 minutes a day. That's in 2018 terms of what we need to do to try to stay healthy. Those are the three main components. Did you know that sleep or sleep deprivation, a lack of sleep, keeps us from thinking clearly? It potentially triggers weight gain in our lives. Did you know that? Physically, did you know that it causes us to perform poorly in tasks? How many has ever lost sleep and can testify to the fact that you don't function that well in school or at work the next day? Yeah? Yeah, it's awful. Sleep deprivation does that. God's designed us to sleep. We should sleep about a third of our lives. When you think about it, in a 24-hour given period, we should be sleeping about a third of that. Poor diet. Did you know that a poor diet impacts our sleep? If you don't eat right, you're not going to be able to sleep well. It's going to impact our mood. So, some of you are probably sitting there going, well, that's why they're in such a bad mood all the time. Hey, a poor diet will cause you to have a bad mood. Eat better and be happy. And also, a poor diet affects our energy level. It also really just kind of affects our general health. If you find that you're losing energy at the middle of the day, the solution, folks, is not to get one of those energy drinks, okay? Please don't do that. I just need more caffeine. No, you need a better diet, okay? Yeah, caffeine is actually the enemy. And also this lack of physical activity. Let me just say this. Some of the symptoms of a lack of physical activity, it will, if you exercise moderately for about 30 minutes a day, and I'm not talking about getting out there and, you know, pump you up. I'm talking about just get out there and walk, you know. Get up and do something for about 30 minutes a day. It will reduce your risk of heart disease. It will reduce your risk of stroke. It will reduce your risk of diabetes. It will reduce your risk of dementia. It will reduce your risk of depression. And there's also forms of cancer that it will reduce by just a little bit of moderate exercise. Too many read 1 Timothy 4:8, especially I think in the... anyway, 1 Timothy 4:8, they say this. The scripture says this. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. And some of us, I think, read this and say, see, we're not supposed to exercise. We're just supposed to just focus on our spiritual life, you know? No, no, no. It doesn't say don't exercise. It says it's of some value. And you know what that some value is? It's so that you can live out all the days of your life that God has assigned for you and do what he's called you to do and not shortchange that assignment or those assignments that he has for you. Bottom line is this. Take care of your temple. And again, it's little by little. Bite by bite, step by step, just a little bit at a time. Instead of choosing the bowl of ice cream, choose the bowl of applesauce. I'm going to say it, okay? Instead of choosing the donuts, Kelly, because she loves donuts and I love ice cream, okay? Instead of choosing the donuts, choose the, I don't know, help me out. Fruit, there you go, something fruit. Okay, fruit. Doesn't that sound awful when you think about it? I mean, if I said donuts and ice cream, I think heaven is going to be those foods, right? All of those things. All the things that are not good for you here is what's going to be at the banquet table when we get to heaven. But until then, yeah. See, I get the biggest amen from that of anything today. Yeah, amen, bless God, we're having revival now. Listen, God has called us to take care of our temples, to eat well, to exercise properly, to get our rest. And it's bite by bite, little by little, precept upon precept. It's just slowly renewing as a way of life. Don't make a New Year's resolution to not eat. By the way, fasting, as I conclude here, fasting is not a way to lose weight. If you fast to lose weight, you're doing it with the wrong intentions. It's not a way to get God's attention and to get his favor. No, he loves you anyway. He sees you. You don't need to get his attention, all right? The motives of why we do what we do is just as important as doing it. So let our motives be that it would be getting closer to God, getting retuned back with Him, maybe recalibrating ourselves. See, here's the bottom line is this. Whatever is gripping you, and it could be food, it could be social media, it could be TV, it could be a relationship, it could be a habit, it could be something, whatever it is, you know what it is. Each of you have a different thing going on right now. Say, oh man, this is gripping me. So what has gripped you? What is gripping you now? What has got a hold of you more than God? And that's what I encouraged you last week, and I'll encourage you again today to fast. Take that has a grip on you and let God grip it, and then let Him grip you. This week, what does that look like? It's not going to revolutionize your life this week, but I hope that it will start a process of renewal in your lives that over a period of time moves that thing, that the needle of your life, more towards Christ-likeness, more towards renewal in Him, more towards being like Him, more towards being effective for Him. Is it a physical thing? Is it a relational thing? Is it a mental thing? Is it a spiritual thing? Is it all of them? God help us to be what You've called us to be. I'm going to ask Cameron to come up if you will, and let's all stand this morning. Thank You for staying with us this morning. It's little by little, line upon line. I'm calling this church to a time of fasting and prayer, officially starting at the end of this service and going through next Sunday at the end of the service. There'll be no donuts next Sunday morning, by the way. And our services this week are going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 6:30 to 7:30. I would encourage all of you, if you're able to come, to come. And we're going to have a time of worship, and we're going to have a time of prayer. And the word focus is what the Lord has given me at the beginning of this year. And He gave me an acronym for the words focus. The F is this. The F is for family. Tomorrow night, we're going to pray for our family, our sons, our daughters, our husbands, our wives, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins. We're going to lift our family up to the Lord. However the Holy Spirit leads us, we're going to pray for the family. The Tuesdays, the O is for others. We're going to pray for others on Tuesday. That could be our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, certainly our community, and not just those that we know, but also the cross-cultural folks. And that can go all kinds of different ways. Colors of skin, religious beliefs, lifestyle choices. We're going to pray for those others. Wednesday, C stands for church. We're going to pray for not only this church, but also the church worldwide, all those who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Thursday, U stands for the uttermost. The uttermost is our missionaries, all nations, all creeds, all colors, all stripes, that God will give global revival, protect the missionaries, use them, expand the kingdom of God, the uttermost. And finally, S on Friday stands for self. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. S stands for self, that God will help us in our spiritual, our mental, emotional, relational, physical, financial, whatever your needs are. We're going to pray that God will help us to little by little in every area of our life become more like Him, to be renewed as a way of life. So let's focus, maybe refocus our attentions not on the urgent, but on the important. Let's not be all distracted by that little yapping dog that's biting at our heels, that instant sort of distraction, but instead let's look at this big tiger that's in front of us saying, I got you. I'm going to devour you, and say, no, you're not. In the name of Jesus, I devour you. Let's disconnect from whatever it would be, whatever has your attention, and let's reconnect with the Holy Spirit. Let's wait upon Him. Let's let Him renew our strength. Let's let Him allow us to be intentionally birthed in us those things that prompt a gradual and fundamental little by little change, both in our hearts and in the way that we live out our life and our faith. Let's fast this week those things that have a grip on us. And instead, let's allow God to grip us in His firm and loving embrace, and help us to focus on our pursuit of a renewed spiritual and mental and physical and relational lifestyle as a way of life to bring glory to the name of Jesus in all that we say and all that we do and all that we think. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Father, this morning we thank you for another year to serve you. Now, this year's not promised to us, the rest of it, but you've given us this day. And Lord, we can look at 2018 as this giant elephant and see how big it is and how overwhelming it is, these things in our lives that have a grip on us, but instead we want you to have a grip on us in those areas. So, Father, help us as a renewal, as a lifestyle, as a way of life, little by little, bite by bite, show us those things that we need to take that needle and move it closer to you. Less of us, more of you. To be better stewards of our physical bodies and to capture those thoughts and that you'd help us with our stinking thinking so that our emotions don't get carried away. That we'll be careful to foundationally spend time with you in prayer and studying your word and guarding our margins. That we'll realize that this church, that the body of Christ, is what you've given us as a gift to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. Help us to be more the body of Christ than we've been before, little by little, day by day, bite by bite.